We're taking a theme together as a church called Church Without Walls, and we're looking at this idea of Church Without Walls. How about that then? That's what we're looking at. And over the last number of weeks, I've been sharing a number of themes. This morning, I want to speak about your world and concern. I've been looking at the Your World Commission, Your World Call. And we've been sharing about that Jesus sends us into all the world, and your world is where you spend 90% outside of this gathering. This is gathered church, and we will spend then 90%, 95% of our time as scattered church. And we've been looking at what that means to be in the world and what that is. I began to share about your world community, that this is the gathered, where we're going to be released to be scattered. And Andrew very eloquently and rightly was talking about this is precious, this opportunity to gather. It's community. The community brings fuel for the scatter. The gather is the fuel for the scatter, where Jesus takes us into all the world. And this is the fuel. This is an opportunity to refuel, refocus. And so this morning I want to speak about concern. And what does that mean? And what's that all about? I'm going to be looking at Acts chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. You might want to turn to that. Get your Bible ready for that if you've got a Bible with you this morning. And what I would say is this, that the five or six messages that we're sharing on this theme of Church Without Walls is setting afresh the next few years of our culture. That's the way I look at it. Others might not realize that. So please listen. If you haven't caught all the messages, it's not because I think I'm great or anything, but they're free, and they're opportunity to listen to the podcasts. Used to be listen, get the tape, didn't it? Used to be get the tape. We have a big tape library and hand it round to each other, you know. And if you're the last one who got it, it'd have stretched or whatever it was. But now it's listen to the podcast all at the same time. Isn't that great? But so have a listen, and you know, it 20, 30 minutes. Listen on the way. If it does nothing, it might help you get to sleep. Some people say to me, so listen, if you find it difficult to get to sleep at night, listen to a podcast when I'm speaking. And I say have a listen, because I just share my heart on this. Really feel that they're not the only message, but this for the next 3 to 5 years. This sets a culture point that we want to try and make, and God, the Holy Spirit in our church. And so have a listen to the messages, and if you've missed some, and catch up. Okay, so Acts 3, verse 1 to 10, it reads like this, and I'm going to take this from a slightly different angle, because this is a chapter that you may have heard. I'm going to deal with it a certain way, okay, this morning. You'll see in a minute. So, one day, Peter and John were going to the up to the temple at the time of prayer, at 3 p.m. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight to him, and as did John, and then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them, some money in other words. And then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk, and then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Your world and concern. As I said, we've looked at commission, the call, community. Now this morning I want to take the theme of concern. How do you know what to do in your world when you go to work? How do you know what God wants from you? How to live, where to go, what to say in your interactions with people? 90% of our time, your time, is going to be life. We're doing life now here together. We're gathered together. And there's a moment where we refocus, recalibrate, renew, and come together and refresh. But when we're released to do our thing, and go your way, and there's over 90% of our time, the rest of most of the week, in other words, how do we know what to do in your world, our world, my world? How do we follow God? How do we live for him? I shared a couple of weeks ago, a lot was it last week, about our whole life is worship. Worship is life, whole life worship. So everything that we do, we gather in worship, but I scatter in worship. We don't gather. But what does that mean? How do I live my life? And the simple practical things of my life, how can that be worship? How do I know what I'm doing? At times we can feel guilty and intimidated by stories where other people share. I've shared with someone at the bus stop this, and then this happened, and their leg grew when I prayed. And we can think, I'm not an evangelist, and I'm praying for healing, and we hear some of those stories, and I don't know about you, but I can sometimes almost get to the point where I can't do that, and so we can sort of almost, I don't want to say give up, but there's something happens inside whereby we don't like go on all cylinders, we go back a little. So we can feel guilty. We can sort of give up, but sometimes we don't even look up. We can get so distracted by life that we don't see the things that are going on around us. I don't know about you. I oscillate between. I have a rhythm between giving up and not looking up. I can't do that. And I'm so busy. Life is a bit like that. And I don't know about you, but that's my experience. And you, we're all human, and you do look human, and it's something that we will all feel, I'm sure, from time to time. But as I said, I've been talking about, and I've been challenged on, and I'm challenged in my own life with these things. Okay, so anything that we share, and I would share, it comes out of the crucible of experience and desire to put it all into practice, okay? So, yeah, I've been talking about being, that you can, just you, how about this? We've been sharing this, so you need to listen to this on the podcast. You, being you, can make an incredible difference. Just you being you. Just you being who you are. You don't even have to be anything super duper. We did a whole series on unlikely heroes. I did that for a reason. Because I think in God's hands, all of us can be a hero. In God's hands. But so we looked at this thing of whole life worship and just you being you. God is about people, not necessarily the buildings, but we need to gather together like this in a building. But there is this bit where you are the living stone and you being you. Now, you being you can make a difference. And I would say this, you being you can make a difference when you live, and I live, my whole life as worship. Whole life worship. Everything about me. We read it from the message in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Read it from the message. You're eating, you're breathing, you're sleeping, you're going about to work is an offering to God. The message translates it brilliantly, paraphrases it brilliantly, rather. And so there is how? So I ask, I've got lots of questions, and I don't have all the answers. But how? How can we live so that we don't give up? And never look up. I think the key is this. Living a whole life with an attitude and an awareness that my whole life is worship. If my attitude is that my whole life is worship, you will have a new awareness. This is interesting. If your attitude and my attitude is that my whole life is given to God. So we've chosen the songs this morning. The guy, all I am and have is yours. Did you notice when we sang that this morning? That is a whole life worship declaration. Not just a Sunday morning in an hour and a half declaration. That is amazing. All I am, all I have, I'm yours. That's a whole life declaration. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Now, if I live with that attitude when I walk out these doors, I guarantee something will happen in your life and you won't realize. You will have and begin to move in a new awareness. And I want to talk about that this morning for the next few moments, of how we can know the concern of God. His concern becomes our concern. His heart becomes my heart. The heartbeat of God becomes my heartbeat. And the key, I believe, here is a whole life. An attitude of giving my whole life that gives me a new awareness to my life. So could it be then that when you live this way, so another question for you I'm going to pose to you right now. Could it be that when you live with this type of attitude, everyday natural interactions with others become opportunities, appointments for God to flow through my life? Simple. Oh, you've flummoxed me now. I've got to say it again. Okay. Could it? I don't use verbatim notes. I use sort of part notes. So I'm not quoting verbatim. Could it be that when you live this way, with this type of attitude, that we have an awareness that everyday natural interactions with others become an opportunity and an appointment? So the natural, everyday occurrences, the people that we bump into, we meet, the person at the office that's upset with me or needs an arm of an encouragement, could it be that all with this type of my whole life I give to you, my whole life worship, that attitude, then things that just naturally bump into, we have a new awareness. That to me was the little light that lit in my brain and my heart when I began to meditate on this. And my answer is to that, I believe that is the case. Okay. It takes away all the effort, the energy, the beat yourself up time, because you being you, living your life for God, I can't be you and you can't be me. But you being you and into the people, the interactions and where you go, it's amazing. You are amazing. I'm not saying that in a positive, just to be positive. It's a fact. Okay. So, it's interesting. I mean, Jesus said these sort of things. And I think with this in mind, this is what Jesus said to the disciples. He said this. He would say things like, I will be with you always to the very end of the age. Don't fear. I will die and rise again. How can he be with us always? Through the power of the Holy Spirit in us and through us. And so he said things like, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. He said, I will be with you and in you. I will send the Holy Spirit who will be like me. He'll be with you and in you. Okay? So we don't have to be afraid. My point is this. We don't have to be afraid or discouraged when he says things like that. He said things like, the Holy Spirit will give you the words to say, he said to the disciples. Don't worry. So we don't have to be afraid and we don't have to worry and beat ourselves up. Even if you're not sure what to say and how to act and how to react, that if we're in that place with that attitude and awareness, the Holy Spirit will give you the words. I used to beat myself up. How do you get a word from God? How do you release a prophetic word? Don't do it. As soon as you stop doing that, he just does it. It's amazing. That's the grace of God. So, moving on then. Let's have a look at the text just for a moment. So that, I want to move on swiftly. So, Acts 3, verse 1 to 10. Now, do you notice in this story, and I'm going to just take it a little bit differently, because I'm not going to major so much on the miracle, although it is an amazing miracle, and that's maybe for another day. I want to look at the context and how it all came about to make the point that I want to look at this morning of concern. If you look at Acts chapter 3, verses 1 to 10, we see a few things there. Do you notice something? In the beginning of the story, we see Peter and John, and it was they were going about their day. And so it says there that Peter and John were going to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 p.m. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those who were coming to the temple courts. A couple of things I want to say about that just for a moment or two is this. Peter and John were going about their day. I know they're the apostles, they are the superheroes, the super-duper anointed ones. I know all of that, and that's all. There's a sort of an element of truth to that. But what I want to see is underneath that, and you see in the storyline there, in the text, is this. They were going about their day. This was something that came into their day. They weren't necessarily on a special mission trip, knocking on, and it's not wrong to knock on somebody's door. We're here from the local church, we'd like to pray with you. But they were doing their day. That's the gist of the story. And the man who was ill from birth, so he would have been doing that most of his life. He was doing his day as well. begging. This was something that was generally happening. The disciples, it says, they were in the afternoon. In Jewish culture, they were following the Jewish culture, actually, of morning prayers, afternoon prayers, and evening prayers. How about that? Three times a day. So they were going about their business. What I want to make is this. They were going about their general business. And in that, in that going and doing their day, you see, they viewed the whole of their life as God's. With that type of awareness, something happens. It led to a miracle. This is the point I want to make is this. Look at this. So the man was crippled. And so they notice a man. Now, they notice this man, and do you know what? The chances are, lots of commentators, you've probably heard lots of speakers say this, that the chances are, if they went to the temple courts to pray, because it was their custom, morning, afternoon, and evening, and that this man who was a beggar went to that gate, same place, same time, morning, afternoon, and evening, they would have passed by or seen him at some point. So this is, they're doing their stuff. It was going over their day. It wasn't a Hollywood film. Arise! It's just more normal life, natural sort of stuff going on. And then what we see is this. They noticed the man. That's when you go with an attitude that I'm giving you my life, God, you know, you'll have a new awareness. When the whole life is, but you're going about your work, you're catching the tram to Nottingham, or whatever it might be. Hannah's laughing because that's what her life is. Getting the tram there, getting the tram back. It's delayed, Dad. And so they notice this man, and they have an awareness of God, and with this awareness, they reach out, the man expecting money, but they knew the real need was the healing. And so they reach out, and an amazing miracle takes place. An amazing miracle takes place. Now, what I want to say is this. What if, and this is the what if, bearing in mind that simple little observation, it's a little observation. What if we lived a whole life of worship, all I am is yours, Lord, when I leave the building for the rest of the week, right? But you might be singing some songs along the way and praying and thinking of God. I understand that. But what if we lived with an attitude that my whole life, my getting on the tram and getting off, the people I sit by, my boss that I speak to, the person on the ward that I'm dealing with, the person at the typewriter in the office, or the school gate, or my teacher, my children, the person at the bus stop, you know, the checkout person or whatever it is. What if, and so much more, person down at the gym when I'm at that, you know, whatever it is that we do. What if we lived a whole life attitude of worship whereby then we become aware of God, his presence and purpose. And in that knowing God's hand upon my life, that I just naturally reached out to others in my everyday interactions, just as they did. This was an everyday interaction. It's an amazing one. It leads to an incredible miracle and the power of God. But this is what I'm saying. Could it be that through some of our everyday interactions that we've given up, not looked up, focus by reaching out? Now, what do you mean by reaching out, Adrian? What are you saying there? Well, simple things like being helpful, thoughtful, caring, maybe in need of a friend, give somebody some time, listen to somebody at work. I've rattled off a load of things there. They're quite amazing. By reaching out, you see, with that type of awareness, reaching out in God, he does the miracle. You don't, and I don't. We don't do it. When you release a prophetic word or a picture or vision, you don't do it. He does. We just reach out. And that's for us all. And that is for us all. That's what initially turned the world upside down. That's why the early church spread like fire in the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, it's God's heart and God's concern. And do you know what it leads to? Miracles. It leads to miracles. It might be a miracle of a conversation. You've never had a conversation like that before. It might lead to a bit of a miracle where somebody's heart is opened up through because you've listened to them and their heart starts at work. When they've been a very closed person to spiritually, they become all of a sudden open because you've listened. It might be when you've offered to pray that there's an answer to your prayer. They get healed. Something happens in the family that turns out good. It's amazing. It leads to miracles. It leads to miracles. And this is what happened on that day, on the way. On the way. It's about that awareness. Okay, so, coming to the last few moments, and then we'll close in a moment or two. Couple of things. What hinders our hearts? I'm going to talk about what can hinder my heart, and I think we're probably pretty similar. And let's have a look at three simple things that I think are the things that can hinder the heart, that can cloud the awareness. Because the heart is about the concern. We want the concern. We want the awareness so that the simple things of life turn out to be quite marvelous things. And that's how the world got turned upside down. That's how the early church spread like fire, led to miracles. Okay, first thing, and they all begin with D, is dread. Dread of others. I don't know about you, but I can sometimes be a bit fearful. If I say anything, they're going to put me down. They're going to turn their back. They're going to, they're so angry. Everybody in the world hates Christianity. But it depends if you, with love. In actual fact, I quite find if you tell people what to do and stand on a soapbox, then they do get uptight. But if you love, listen, care, can I pray? People just open the door and say, please do. They do. They really do. The dread, it depends. It's the awareness and the response, isn't it, that is the key. You know, the dread of others. It's a fear. There was a book written by Susan Jeffers. It was called Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway. One of these sort of positive, live your life positive type of books. I would say something a bit different from that. Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway, she wrote. And she's not a Christian. It was just... But I would say this. Face the fear with faith. Face the fear with faith. With faith. Greater is he that's in us than he's in the world. I am with you always to the very end of the age. I won't leave you alone. I am with you and in you by the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't worry what you have to say. The Holy Spirit will speak. It's amazing. It's amazing. And so that dread of others, that fear, in actual fact, is a bit of a fallacy. Let's not fall for that one. We could turn the world upside. You could turn your world upside down, your world. Wow, could lead to miracles. Face the fear with faith. Trust him, the Holy Spirit, in us, with us, giving us the words. You know, can I pray about that? Do you mind if my group of Christians that I meet with, if we might not go into detail, but could we pray for your family regarding that? Could I pray for you now? You'll be able to gauge where somebody's at. Offering to pray. People, somebody can only say, no, thank you. Well, it's up to them. But majority of people, 90% will probably say, okay, please. They will. They will. Wow. And so, simple things like that, in the simple interactions, at the office, at work, never have we lived in an age of anxiety. Never have we lived in an age of fear about the future, climate change, the state of the world. Never has there been an era with young people having an angst and an anxiety that's like the red light is flashing on the dashboard of your car. You know it's danger, danger. Never have we. There's always been worries and fear. Never have we lived. So to listen, to care, to love, to look out for, to console, to offer a prayer, to open the door for someone, to pick up the stuff when it falls all over the floor, to be kind, to smile. You say, well, they are the opening to the possibility of miracles. They really are. They really are. They really are. Okay, moving on. Distraction of life. The dread of others, the distraction of life. The distraction of life. You know, in life, we're busy. There's a lot going on. We've got You know, we've got the things that we love to do. And this is good. Whenever have we lived in an age where we can choose to do so many wonderful things? And it's good. But there can be, there is a danger that, you know, my leisure and my hobbies and things and stuff and the stuff I buy and more that I want to buy. And it's not wrong to have leisure. It's good. We need it. Hobbies. Sometimes people say to me, get other hobbies, you're a bit of a bore at times, you need to do other things. And then when I share my hobbies, they say, you are a bore. I used to like sketching and painting, and I won't say the other one because Helen would tell me off. But people who know me well know what it is, but I won't say what it is. But I do have a few hobbies. So it's not wrong, but it's when they take up life, when that becomes my worship. And so the thing is, this time now is an opportunity for refocus. Where there's distraction, when these things sort of so distract me, and it's good to have an element of these things in my life. We've got to have it. Variety for the soul. It's good. But when and it's dangerous. That's why it's so good to gather like this, because it's an opportunity for refocus, refocusing my heart, and an opportunity to be renewed by the Holy Spirit. To drink again, to be filled afresh, to realign the heart. I don't know about you, but my heart can wander. My mind can wander. Your mind might be wandering right now as you're thinking about the roast dinner that you forgot to turn on. So being like this, together like this, it's important to refocus. So with the distractions of life, refocus, renew, refresh. You know, my desire is to live for his glory, not for my gain. I tell you what, if you decide to live for God's glory, you will have everything that you need. It's when we live in a world that's all about gain and get and more. You will have all that you need. God's a good God. He knows what we need. We won't be short if we live for his glory. That's why Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And everything you want and need, everything will be given you. It's amazing. So come on, let's just refocus. I'm going to live for your glory. And finally, you know, the dread of others, the distraction of life, the demands of life. You know, there's a lot. I look at people and I just know today there are so many demands on your time, your energy, our lives today. You know, certain parties want to bring in a 4-day working week. There still be more demands on our life even if you have a 4-day working week. Because the heart is wandering on all other sorts of stuff. Okay, I'll get off my soapbox just for 1 second, there, a minute there. I went into soapbox mode, didn't I? You could tell the difference. But it's true, isn't it? Well, you might not think so, but I think so, and I'm happy with that. You know, the demands of life. So work, you know, talk work-life balance. Work, life, family, bills, making ends meet, stuff that we all do, the clubs that we go to, the things that there's just a lot going on. And you think, well, where am I going to get the time? My thing on that would be, call upon his grace. I did a whole series, Rhythm of Grace. Please listen to that if you get a chance. I did it for a reason. It was running up to what I'll be speaking about now. Rhythm of Grace was a short series looking at the stages of life and the demands of life. And how we may know the hand of God at every avenue and stage of life. From when I first became a Christian, to my children growing up, moving on, to me coming to the twilight years of my life, that we may know the grace of God, the hand of God. And call upon his grace. Holy Spirit, Jesus, help me now. I tell him that he will. Realign. Refocus. So that we then, and so with this I close. And worship team are going to come back now. With this, Jesus said this, as the Father in John 20, verse 21, come up on the screen. I've quoted this before, it leaves an impression on my heart. As the Father sends me, he said to the disciples, I send you. The same way, with the same heart, the same concern, and the same life. Jesus incarnated, in other words, he lived out and breathed, he had a whole life of worship. So too, you and I, we have a whole life. Our whole life is worship. Our whole life is given to God. He gives so much back. He will give you so much back. He will give you more than you can even contain if we live for his glory. And the simple things and the interactions of life become opportunities. So when I was getting my hair cut the other day and my Hannah was cutting my hair. Nice. Good, isn't it? It's nice. For free. Because she's training at Tony and Guy. It's a plug for Tony and Guy, Nottingham. And the other hair assistant was teaching and she did a little bit and he did a little bit and she did a little bit. And we got talking. Now, I remember Hannah ended up saying to this guy said to Hannah, oh, your dad was nice, very chatty. And he said, well, my dad's not normally as chatty as that. Which is true, it's true. But I'm looking at things a bit differently now. This is why, since I've been speaking the way I'm speaking, so I'm going to open up my heart to you. So sitting there, I thought, this is a great opportunity, because it's always cutting my hair. I've got so much. I know it's grey, but boy, have I got a thick shot of hair. And I'm always getting the haircut. Anyway, talking away, and just talking about, he was talking and chatting, you know, because hairdressers are chatty, 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 listen, 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 aren't they? Aren't they, Sally? Chatty, 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 listen, listen, listen. And he was chatty, 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 listen, listen, listen. And he started talking about life and, you know, his family are quite, he's married into a family, very religious, back in the country that his wife come from, and he wasn't very religious. And then a bit later, he said, and I didn't comment too much, and he said, you know, what do you do? Yeah, I know. Heart sinks a little, or do you, what do you do? And so my thing was, well, I used to be, because he told me he was into programming and all sorts of stuff. I said, well, I used to be into electronics engineer. Did an HNC in electronics. I said, but now I'm a minister. And he said, wow, that's different. How did that come about? And I talked a little bit more. Not a lot more, but a little bit more. And then we went on to talk about hair and stuff. Little interactions. Absolutely amazing. Father God, we thank you. We love you. We honor you. We want to give you our lives. We want to live for your glory. And as we close this morning, we say we're going to live for you. We're going to stand on you. We're going to be released in a few moments to the rest of this week. And so we realign our hearts. We give you our lives. We say, Holy Spirit, will you fill me afresh? I need your grace. I need your strength. Give me courage. And may every interaction that I'm involved in be for your glory. There is no pressure. I'm just going to live for you. And whatever comes my way, it's going to be absolutely, naturally supernatural. And I pray, Father God, that we will experience miracles, whatever that means. I pray for literal bodies being healed, lives changed, but it might even be just an opportunity to speak and listen and open up and be warm and love and encourage new friendships, openings, opportunities. I pray all around this place right now that there be an amazing release of miracles. Scatter, as we scatter, we're not going to be isolated. We are joined in you as one in the power of your Spirit. And I pray, may people feel your presence wherever they go. Wherever they go, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Let's stand together. Let's live for his glory. Be blessed. Look forward to seeing you this evening. Pastor Michael is going to be speaking. He has a silky, clear voice, a voiceover for Hollywood movies. He's got this amazing, amazing ability, a great voice. So Pastor Mike's got a great message to share. So we'd love to see you this evening. God bless you. Have an amazing week. Thank you.